we get a little preamble to the preamble, you know, gets the conversations going.
Exactly, yeah. And we realized that over the past however long we've been doing this, we've actually just come up with an excuse to build and sit in pillow forts internationally.
Wait, you're just realizing this now?
I'm just realizing this. I'm starting to think this was the whole reason that this was started. But yeah, I mean, international pillow forts.
Yeah, this is very much a your authority is not recognized in Fort Kickass type situation, right?
Nobody else really knows? Like, I'm thinking, like, I would have dreamed of this den when I was 4 years old. This is awesome.
Isolating the sound and badass at the same time. What more can you want? Hi, welcome to Indulgently Minimal. I am Mocky, and I am joined today by Jeff.
I can see my dress shirts.
And Murdoch.
Hello, everyone. We are adults, I think.
Yes, because I have dress shirts. I mean, that's an adult thing, right?
Adulting in the best way possible. So welcome to this month's Blobcast. We are, in a form, going easy on ourselves. Yes, we will be unpacking the sign-offs. We do mean to go on a couple of other ones, but today we're focusing on Jeff's Go Easy on Yourself.
I'm already wearing pajamas.
Well, I am in my pajamas.
I should really do something about this.
Well, go on, Jeff. It's your one. Why do you sign off with that every week? I mean, I think we kind of touched upon it last week, though, right?
We touched upon it, but it's always worth going over and over and over again. It's really, really easy to be harsh to yourself, to judge yourself and put yourself at a way higher standard than everybody else. You know, you expect more of yourself than you do anybody else. And sometimes it's really important to remind yourself, you know, hey, just go easy on yourself. You know, maybe don't go bash them so much. Maybe don't go yell at them or expect too much of them. Just kind of accept that you're a person. You've got foibles. You're not perfect. Go easy on yourself. Have a cheese toastie. Have four, you know? I came away from making a cheese toastie.
I do like a good cheese toastie.
Is that like a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yes. It's a grilled cheese, but in the UK, a grill is what I think what Americans would call a broiler.
Is it a broiler?
So whereas it's like the heat comes down from above, whereas the American grilled cheese, I think it's on a frying pan, but we'd call that a...
Right.
That's a fried cheese.
French toast isn't really type a thing. Situation. I mean,
French, yeah. Anyway, this is not CheeseCast.
I mean, I guess it's kind of a more chilled out way of saying be kind to yourself, right?
Yeah. You deserve kindness, and you deserve kindness from yourself as you would give to somebody else. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that. You know, sometimes you need to remind yourself of it every day. And it's just a really... It's just a nice thing to have in the back of your mind. It's not an excuse to be lazy and wear pajamas all the time, although I am lazy and wear pajamas all the time.
Well, being comfy is being kind to yourself, I think.
Being comfy is like, if you can be comfy, there is, just do it. Just be comfy. It doesn't matter about looking cool or, I mean, you know, maybe don't wear a dressing gown if you work on a shop floor and you're near a lathe. Probably not the best idea.
Just the dude walking around.
Yeah. I mean, that is the dream, though, to just be the dude and just walk around in a dressing gown and slippers everywhere you go.
Holding an open carton of milk, yes.
Well, I mean, I could take or leave the carton of milk. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, what other ways do you think you can go easy on yourself, be kind to yourself? Because I think it's easy to turn around and say, like, oh, yeah, you know, go easy on yourself. Don't let that voice in your head be so critical. But we kind of hinted at that now just with the coziness. There are ways to go easy on yourself, ways to be kind to yourself that are a little more concrete. I mean, maybe it's that Twin Peaks Dale Cooper type situation of, you know, every day just give yourself a little treat.
Yeah, like don't look for it, don't wait for it. But when you find it, it could be a new suit. It could be a hot cup of Joe.
I love that character so much.
I love Dale Cooper. He's an inspiration to us all.
Ah, well, what do you call them? Like a picture with thoughts?
No, a headache with pictures.
A headache with pictures. Yes, a headache with pictures. I think like part of what we are talking about actually stems from sort of like maladaptive behavior. Sort of a rebellion against the internalized sort of like harshest parts of maybe early childhood parenting.
We can be our own worst critics sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, there is like that. You do kind of internalize parental roles onto yourself into adulthood. And sometimes that's perhaps not the healthiest thing to do, or the way you're doing it may not be that healthy. You may be super critical of yourself when really you don't need to be. I mean, it's good to be critical in some ways of yourself. Mm. Otherwise, you just turn into a hedonism bot. But
you've got to hold yourself to a certain standard, but it's also the tone with which you take to yourself, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's where the kindness comes into things. You can hold yourself to a standard. You can be strict with yourself, but you can do it in a kind way, not in a nasty, shouty, judgmental way. Mm-hmm. You're more like a, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, no, that's just so much worse.
I'm not mad. I'm just... louder for the microphones, Jeff. I'm sorry.
He's just. Yes, you finished it. Like, he's just. I'm like, where does it go from there? He's just what?
What do I do? Where do I go?
Line.
I thought you were doing some sort of like Descartes. He thinks, therefore he is. You know, he's not. He's not mad. He's just. He exists. It's like, wow, this is deep. Was it that, or did you just not finish?
No, I was trying to pick up on what you said a little bit earlier. But maybe that's also part of it. It's like, you know, not everything has to have a beginning, middle, and end.
I mean, these blobcasts do sometimes get a little wibbly-wobbly around the edges.
Blobby, perhaps.
Well, I mean, this is kind of another thing we're getting at, where we can be very critical about a lot of things, whether something that we do is... it meets up to our expectations, you know, like a piece of art or something like that, where you go, oh, it's, how do you say, coloring outside the lines, or
it's easy to think, one, it's not good enough, or secondly, this is not what I set out to do. I had this perfect image in my mind, and what is in front of me is not that.
And these things can prevent us from doing other things that we set out to do because we fear that. This is what we were picking up very much on last week, that this sort of fear of failure can be something that holds us back. And being kind to yourself is one of the very vital tools for working through that, both understanding that fear and acknowledging it. Like, yes, this is a scary thing we're doing. That's okay. Being brave isn't the absence of fear. It's pushing through it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also about taking stock when you do try something and go, okay, so this isn't as good as I wanted it to be. This isn't what I set out to do. But hey, I did it.
Yeah, I have not made the statue of David. I have made the statue of Dovid. But it's a carved piece of marble that was not there before. So it's something.
It's almost like that meme, like, I made this. Like, just that simple moment of, well, okay, regardless, I achieved this, whether it's as perfect as I wanted it to be or whether it's Dovid, as you say.
Mm-hmm. He's good friends with Lonk.
Oh, the legend of Lonk.
The legend of Lonk. Ba-da-da.
Yeah, it is like when you set out to do something, whether it be art or work or food or whatever, it's when you come to the end of something and there is an end product, this is here. I did this. Sometimes it can be really difficult when you set out to make something and you end up with a pile of burned food and it's like, I did make this, didn't I?
There is also that element too, where it's not only about how do I want to say this? It's not just about accepting what you've done, or it's not even about hiding from your failures. Sometimes it's like, yeah, this didn't work out, as you scrape the charred remains of your efforts into the bin, the inedible pile of carbon you have created. But it's about not beating yourself up because, hey, it happens. Yes, we've all tried to make a French omelette and some of us have never actually achieved it, but hey, like, it's okay. This is difficult. We know it's difficult.
One day.
And how is it like we sometimes, I like to say to people sometimes that when people are struggling that, hey, nothing worth having is easy.
Yeah.
And that's another part of going easy on yourself, being kind to yourself, is acknowledging when something is difficult, being kind to yourself in moments of real failure. Like I said, scraping the charred remains into the bin, it's okay. It's fine. We'll try again later.
Yeah.
Rather than beating yourself up, berating yourself, or otherwise being unkind to yourself.
Yeah, I think when we talked about failure last week, that being kind to yourself, saying, it's okay, yeah, I messed up. I made a mistake, and this is the worst carbonara I've ever had. I mean, why is why is there pineapple in here? How did that happen? And
how did we get here?
How did we get here? Sometimes it's just a whirlwind and you don't know. But at least it's like, okay, I know all these ingredients do not belong in a carbonara. I know this for next time.
Yeah.
Get out of here, can of tuna.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Tuna and pasta, no.
It's the most disgusting combination, and I love tuna and I love pasta, but never the two should ever meet.
I think also another headache with words, headache with pictures, that one. I'm brought back to, like, the scenes from Peanuts where, you know, the children are talking and the parents walk into the room and all you hear is, wop, 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 wop. I feel like we do sometimes internalize maybe the worst parts of parenthood.
Yeah, we can.
And
sure.
I think part of what we're advocating for is quite literally be the parent you need and not the parent you know to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's worth checking in and figuring out whose voice is in your mind. I think we have more control and less control simultaneously. I know it doesn't make sense to say that, but sometimes our thoughts do get away from us, and it's important to realize these things have a habit of happening to us. But at the same time, you can sort of take a step back and go, hang on a second. Like, no, that's not how I want to talk to myself. And no, this is that one teacher that I didn't get along with and wasn't productive, but somehow that voice is now in my head and it's become that self-critic. And you can work on these things. Yeah. Again, whether that's something you work on by yourself or with somebody trusted, you can make improvements and really take on board this idea of, I want to be kinder to myself because I know that that's better. Yeah. Well, keeping in the spirit of such a conversation, I wanted to ask you guys, we've been doing a couple months now of the second year of Indulgently Minimal, and I'm wondering, what have you actually been able to implement from what we've talked about? I mean, specifically, what successes have you had coming from the ideas we've been discussing so far?
I didn't think the homework was due today.
Books at the front, please. Yes, pass to the child in front of you. Thank you.
Oh. Bobby didn't do his homework either.
Oh, no. Flashbacks.
Well, in the spirit of such flashbacks, since you've poked your head up out of the parapet, Murdoch, go on, do present to the class.
Well, here's nothing. Thank you.
Come on, wing it. No. We know you can do it.
I think these conversations have been extremely beneficial. Like, the past year has been rough. And I think going through these conversations has at least given me some of the tools required to sort of pick myself up and dust off my shoulders and just keep going.
I think it's something that we've talked about it a couple times in recent episodes, this idea of going easy on yourself, being kind in failures, learning from yourself. There's a story of, I believe it's from Scotland, I think it was a king in exile. He watched the spider trying to climb up the thread.
Robert Bruce. Over.
Yeah. And there's that idea that it didn't give up. It kept falling, but it kept trying until ultimately it succeeded. And it's a very good image to remind ourselves that you can keep trying.
It's a very important reminder. It's not the end of the world. Like, you know, no matter how many times you experience that, this is it. This is the fight. It's never it.
I really wish I knew where it came from. I saw a quote today, and I can't remember who it was ascribed to, but it was a really good one.
Indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com. If you know, go on, Jeff.
If you know, tell us. But it was something like, learn when you need to rest so you don't have to quit.
Oh, wow.
And it was a really, really good quote, and I cannot remember. It was a name I recognized. It wasn't Einstein or Wayne Gretzky or Michael Scott, but it was.
You sure,
it was
good. Michael Scott. It's usually Michael Scott.
I mean, it will be in the next repost, but
yeah, self-care, right?
Self-care. Yep. Mm. So a very ambitious friend of mine was trying to get me to push harder and do a couple of things here and there, and it was an interesting conversation trying to explain to him that I am sort of making good progress on my own time. I'm not just recovering from whatever this past rough period was. I'm recovering from a long, very, very long history of things that happened. And he did say, and I think this still rings with me to this day, like, take as much rest as you need, but not any more than that.
Hmm.
And I think it is very important that he was very aware that, yes, everybody does have their limits. Yes, it's good to push yourself a little bit past your comfort zone, but everybody has their limits. It can't be go, 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 go time all the time.
Everybody has their own pace.
Yes, that's basically, you find your own pace, but it's also important not to just stop there as well.
Yeah,
and finding that intricate balance between, like, okay, I can push just a few steps further and no, I'm going to rip a muscle and be in recovery for, like, weeks afterwards.
That's a very good image. Very good image, because there's a lot of athletes that have to learn that about when you can push too far and hurt yourself. And I think that we don't always recognize that we need to do the same thing mentally, emotionally, where we can push too far and we then have to enter the blanket burrito to recover and recharge. And there is that risk that you will not, as you say, you will rest too long and become comfortable, cocooned.
It's good. It's good to stop at the oasis, but don't build a shack and build that little village from Zelda there.
That's the Telegraph Road from Dire Straits.
And we're retreading old ground. Like, we have mentioned a lot of these issues or a lot of this advice in previous episodes.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to talk about. Where are we learning? Where are we getting successes? I mean, Jeff, do you have something to bring to the table?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, when we were talking, we did that whole episode on subscription fatigue. You know, it was in our sort of like a mini burnout arc where we talked about subscriptions and content creators. And I unsubscribed from Amazon when they announced there, we're going to charge you more to not have ads. So I just immediately cancelled my subscription, and I cancelled my Audible subscription. And what I've found is that by subtracting that, by removing those things, one, I don't miss them. So I was spending money I didn't need to, which is nice because I'm from Yorkshire and I love being stingy.
Fold origami in your pocket.
Oh, absolutely. But at the same time, it's like, as I found when I got rid of Reddit, I had a lot more free time because I was just kind of watching stuff because it was there. And it's kind of nice to have this. Well, I have this free time and I have this energy I didn't think I had. And I could do so much other things with it. And I mean, to be fair, I've been
mostly
playing video
Baldur's
games
Gate,
with it.
Yeah.
But I finished Baldur's Gate and I miss my friends. But yeah, that's been really useful for me. Or at least I found that really useful.
That's another part of the conversation, is also allowing yourself to be bored. I think this is the other thing. We are persistently afraid of just being bored. If I am bored, it means that I'm not doing anything productive. If I'm not doing anything productive, that's time wasted.
No, being bored, that's when the great ideas come. That's when you have the fun name for a monster, or oh, that's how that thing broke, or that's how I fixed that thing. Or, you know, sometimes it's, oh God, that embarrassing thing I did 15 years ago. But sometimes, you know, it's part and parcel. You know, you have to take the good with the bad.
Well, be kind to yourself in those moments. Like, yeah, I was younger then. I was stupid. Still stupid, but, you know, then and now.
I was young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid.
One more thought just to bring to the table. It's very much the reason why we do retread old ground a lot of the times. One thing they don't tell you as a child when you grow into a maladaptive adult. Now, this is not universal. Some of you lovely, lovely people there are running things perfectly fine. We are proud of you. The one thing that's not always apparent is that, like, healing is, like, it's a continuous process.
Mm.
You're not fine overnight and that's it. You know, all your troubles are solved. You will very likely face the same issues over and over again. And the idea is basically, yes, you need to build resilience and you need to be kind to yourself to build that resilience.
Mm.
As well as understanding your own, not limitations, that's not the word I want to use, rather understanding your own reactions, your own psychology, so you can start to see the signs of, mm-hmm. oh, I'm heading to burnout or I'm heading for problems, so I know when this happens that if I do this kind of activity, it can help me recharge, or I just need to take a step back, stop doing so much overtime.
Mm-hmm.
We talk so much about, I mean, for an indulgently minimal podcast, we talk a lot about the indulgence. We are very indulgent, especially Murdoch and I.
This is why we're here. We're here to talk about the indulgence, understand it, and perhaps cage it.
Yes. Well, I think the indulgence is maladaptive behavior to being told no.
But at the same time, the minimalism is about minimizing as well. When certain behaviors or certain activities are causing us problems, we need to learn how to, if not step away, at least step down or take things down a notch. We don't have to be trucking along at 11 the whole time. I mean, this is a funny image that comes to mind, but a really good example is, you know, when we all first get our first TVs, first computer monitors, we always have the brightness at max and store settings and everything else. Computer monitors, you can turn right down and discover that actually, okay, my eyes don't need to hurt all the time. It's a good example of how we don't have to be turning everything to 11 Spinal Tap style to get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, yeah, minimize, whichever the correct word is, so that when the right time comes, you can crank it up to 11 when it's necessary because you've left something in the tank.
Yeah, like pull over to the side of the road, grab that hot dog from that very suspicious van. It will be fine, you know?
Oh, street hot dogs are always the best hot dogs, though.
Well, but then you turn around and there was never a van there to begin with, only a rustling bag in the wind and you hear a cackle.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I really did take away something important from the, so I think it was a similar arc, Jeff. It might have been the same arc, it might have been another one, the disconnecting and subtraction.
Hmm.
I realized that there was an app on my phone that wasn't the dead bird site, but was bringing me a similar amount of unhappiness, and it was my football or soccer, as some of our other friends may call it, app, and it was just pinging me with constant bad news about my football team. And I went in and turned all the notifications off.
I don't need this.
I don't need this. Like, I know my football team is doing badly. I don't need to be reminded of it every day in the moment. And
like the information's there to seek out if you desire, but you're not being bombarded with it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was bombarding. It was everything's constant.
Well, I mean, but it also led to some nice surprises because I would see in social media as I dip in and out, you'd sort of see comments about, oh, wait, we won? We won a game? So like, oh, you go through. Like, oh, wow, we won a game. A game we may not have otherwise won. This is, so like you're actually able to engage with it.
Yay.
I was able to engage with it in my own.
We beat the under nines team.
It was Newcastle. We beat Newcastle, all right.
Take that, children.
And it's something I've taken to heart and I've started to apply to other apps as well. Even if they're not upsetting me or, you know, depressing me, sometimes they're just annoying me, and I've decided to try and take a little more control over my day-to-day. So even though I have an overpriced, over-specced, over-the-top phone, it doesn't need to be bothering me all day to justify its existence.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the carrot and stick method. Carrot and stick method is a symbol. I don't know. Sometimes a lot of people are all stick, no carrots. And sometimes, you know, it flips to the other side, no stick and all carrots.
I mean, sometimes it feels like your phone or at least your apps are actively harassing you, you know?
we've mentioned this before. Like when your phone is constantly buzzing at you, hey, this is important. Hey, this is important. When everything is important, nothing's important.
Yeah. Or worse, everything becomes hyper important and you start attaching too much importance to these things. Yeah, like this at the football thing, it was upsetting me. It was depressing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know what? I can engage with this another time. I don't need this right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's finish on a good note. Jeff, what have you been grateful for this past month?
So this past month, with the sad passing of Baldur's Gate.
Something happened to it? I haven't played it yet. Wait, is it gone?
I finished it and I can never ever play it again for the first time. But
wow, that is a sad moment.
But my super happy thing I've really loved in this month is, to take a break from that, I have been playing, finally, Untitled Goose Game.
Oh!
And the joy of just being the most horrible, annoying, honking devil that is the goose has been just pure joy. I mean, terrorizing those town folk.
Yeah.
You know, it really is that moment from Breaking Bad where I am the one that honks.
Peace was never an option.
Peace was never an option. And I've really, really been enjoying playing that game, and the fact that it has a dedicated honk button is just like 10 out of 10 game of the year.
It is fantastic. It's a very strange game which gives you permission to be the villain
in a Metal Gear sort of Goose, like wholesome, you know? Environment.
Metal Gear Goose.
It's Metal Gear Goose. You've got to be like all stealthy and stuff. You can even hide in a box.
That's got to be a reference. That's got to be. Okay. Murdoch.
I have been grateful for friends and family. More so the family part as well.
Oh, that's always a good one.
It's a thought that I have to keep revisiting. Like, I am grateful for, you know, the family I grew up with. I'm grateful for, you know, the efforts and everything parents have done for me, siblings have done for me, friends have done for me. With parents specifically, this is always a difficult one. They've done the best that they know.
Yeah.
They've done the best that they know. Mm. It's always a difficult point to revisit, that maybe it wasn't perfectly suitable for what you need, but it's the best that they knew.
It's an important part of growing up, is that realization that your parents are just people too, doing the best they could. At the eyes of a child, they are something more than. They're special. They are, you know, depending on the age of the child, something like, you know, your parents hold the moon, as it were. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good to remind yourself they did the best they could.
So here's a shout out to Mom and Dad. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Mine feels kind of shallow now. honk, honk.
No. Running around as a goose with a knife is also equally important.
Raking the lake, baby. Raking the lake.
Well, I will stay in the same lane, because I'm very grateful that tomorrow I will be heading to the airport to pick up my baby bro, who I haven't seen in nearly a year. So I'm grateful that I'm going to be spending some time.
Did you guys take notes and like you're going to do some really heartfelt stuff and let's make Jeff talk about a freaking goose?
That's why you had to go first.
You guys suck.
Hey, I could have let you go last.
Oh, doing your presentation after somebody does an absolute bella.
Yeah.
I like this game. It has a goose in it.
I just think it's neat.
Now, Jeff, you are included in that list of people we're grateful for.
That's true.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to us ramble on. It's been a good episode, I think. I've enjoyed that one, so I hope you have too. We have been indulgently minimal. Please follow us on Instagram, follow us on Mastodon. There's links to all of our socials in the show notes. It's where we let you know when new episodes are coming out, all the good stuff. So give us a follow there. If you want to get in touch with us, go a little old school, send us an email. We are indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Any thoughts, questions, comments, concepts, or ideas you wish for us to cover, do let us know. Thank you to everybody that is supporting us on Ko-fi. We really appreciate all the help. It does help us keep making the show. So if you want to support us, go over to Ko-fi. There is a link in the show notes. It's ko-fi.com/indulgentlyminimal. I've been Moggy, and I've been joined today by Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Really do remember to go easy on yourselves.
And Murdoch.
And remember, folks, indulge a little.
Thanks for joining us. See you for the next one. Bye.
See you later, guys.
Take care, everyone.
Honk, honk.
Come on.